Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal: enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless
you. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind, Wisconsinized Look at This Week in the Capitol in Politics. And let's start out in politics. So there was an announcement this morning, JR.
Yep.
Who's not running for governor?
It's going to surprise you, but Ron Klein's not running for governor.
Well, you and I have spent years asking him, going to run for the U.S. Senate, going to run for governor. So
he passed running for governor in 2002. He passed running for the U.S. Senate in 2012. Passed running for the U.S. Senate in 2016. Passed running for governor this time. It is not a shock.
No, it isn't.
Even though Ron Klein said a few weeks ago that he's really considering it, had ruled it out. I think his phrase was, a decision hasn't been made for me about running for governor. Right. People kind of take with a grain of salt, because you look at the dynamic of Ron Kind. On the one hand, you have a guy who has won elections in western Wisconsin with rural voters that Democrats need to appeal to.
Unopposed on November 8th last year, excuse me.
One of the biggest mistakes Republicans made last year, they'll tell you, in Wisconsin, was not having a candidate against them, especially as Donald Trump won his seat.
Yes, won his third congressional district.
So he's got this appeal to these voters that they need. But in a primary, Ron Klein has an issue with the base of the Democratic Party on trade. Now, we're talking about governor. Trade is not a big, you don't negotiate trade agreements like you do when you're president or in the U.S. Senate. But the base is not happy with Ron Klein about things like the TPP. And even at the convention last summer, out of the national convention, he got in an argument essentially with delegates or the people at the convention about trade. It's not the picture you see of a guy who's, oh, this is going to be the party standard bearer, a race for governor. Now, fast forward to next fall. He's going to run for election to his congressional seat. So since Donald Trump won his seat last fall, the NRCC has got this on its watch list. They want to go play there. The issue, though, for them is that was last fall an aberration or realignment in Wisconsin?
Too soon to tell.
So if their best opportunity would have been to have a candidate against Ron Klein last fall, to ride the Trump wave, which we didn't really see coming, you know, back in the spring, we need to register. Now, Republicans will tell you they've done better with rural voters in 10, 14, and last fall, so they think they have some momentum there. You've got to get infrastructure, but you need a candidate who can prosecute the Kind record. And, oh, by the way, Ron Kind, at the end of December, had $2.3 million in the bank. Now, that's not enough to scare off everybody, but that's a lot of money for a guy who's been running and winning for 18 years, almost 20?
Yeah, I think so.
So it'll be a contested race, but he's got some built-in advantages right now.
Okay, he said this the day after Tim Cullen was in the Capitol and told me and other reporters, I don't think you missed it, but it's no big deal, mm-hmm. that Tim Cullen is on the track to announce at the end of April.
Tim Cullen's been talking about running for governor for a while. He's been traveling the state. It's not a surprise that he is laying the foundation for a bid.
Okay, so let's listen. Let's list some of the other Democrats who might run. When Klein says he's not going to run, two Democrats from Western Wisconsin. I'm told Representative Dana Walks is serious about it.
Yep.
You consider Senator Kathleen Vineout of Alma serious?
She's been talking about it. I listened to a radio interview she did not long ago where she said she was studying the results of 2016,
right,
to see if it was a result of new voters coming out,
yep,
or Dems staying home. So, but she's been weighing a bid. Now, she also hasn't raised much money, if she is. I mean, I know there's a certain segment of the Democratic Party that hates money in politics. But you have to have money to run statewide.
Yeah.
And she did not have enough money at the end of 2016 to run really a decent Senate race, let alone run for governor.
Right.
So will she build those resources up? Joe Parisi, Dan County Executive's name gets mentioned.
Yep, and I had coffee last month with Milwaukee businessman Andy Gronick, who said, yeah, I'm taking soundings.
Yes.
And have you heard the name of Madison businessman Mark Bakken?
Yep, tried to reach him a few weeks ago for a reporter that he was being mentioned as a possible candidate.
Okay.
So he's out there. They keep him low profile right now. But all of these guys have a caveat of Dana Walks. He is a member of the Assembly from Western Wisconsin. Great. But what's his name ID in Madison, Green Bay, Milwaukee, which are the population centers of the state? Not great. Kathleen Vinehout hasn't had a track record of raising much money. She finished third or fourth in that recall.
Well, she only got 4% in the primary recall in 2012.
Mark Bakken, if you go look, private sector Democrat. But if you're a private sector guy, they're going to pour over everything in your record. If you go Google those old companies, there's a sexual harassment suit that's filed against one of them that is not very pleasant reading for somebody who wants to run for governor. They could pick that apart. Yeah. Andy Gronick, every business transaction that he's been part of will be picked over. Joe Parisi, you know, what's his record going to be to run statewide?
Another Dane County Democrat. Mary Burke comes to mind.
So you've got all these kind of like caveats. We'll see. I mean, one might emerge, and one might be the one who seems like the candidate. But right now, there's still not a clear favorite.
Well, let's wrap it up this way. Ron Kind again said no to anything but the 3rd Congressional District.
Yep.
Okay, new subject. Our Janesville native, Speaker Paul Ryan, is in the absolute middle of the fight of his life with this new Health Care Act. I mean, he said it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The American Health Care Act keeps our promise to repeal and replace Obamacare. But members of his own party, senators, Mike Lee, this is not the Obamacare repeal bill we've been waiting for. And talk about the health care groups are lining up against it. American Hospital Association, American Nurses, AMA, AARP, they all oppose it. And then you look at Americans for Prosperity. And Christian Snyder of the Journal Sentinel, Fobamacare, Swamp Care, Eric Erickson, the conservative blogger, Rhino Care, Mark Levin. He is in the middle of a fight, and yet he insists that he's going to deliver enough votes. It's 217?
218, I think.
218, because there's 435 members of the U.S. House, to pass this bill, which has already cleared two committees. Put Ryan in perspective here.
Well, for all those who line up against it, Donald Trump has said, hey, this is a great thing. Get on board.
Yeah, and he's saying, let's go bowling, and I'm going to talk you into voting for the bill.
Also, for all the noise from some House conservatives about the bill, it passed two committees this week with all Republicans voting for it, if I had that correct. Ryan right now is a binary choice. Either you're for Obamacare or you're against Obamacare. And if you're against Obamacare, you have to take this option. I'm not sure how that argument will play out over the next few weeks or months. And if one of our guys like Senator Lee or Tom Cotton, who said, let's slow down. I've read that they want House or GOP leaders want this done by the Easter break. Not sure that's going to happen if these guys keep raising concerns. But they're trying to thread this needle where they're actually talking about three bills, right? This is the first part. We're going to have these other pieces that are come along. It's all going to work together.
Yeah.
But there's requirements because of, they call it reconciliation, this process to get through the Senate without getting 60 votes. So there's all these moving parts. And he's becoming the chief salesman, in a way, of this plan. Yesterday, he had shirt sleeves rolled up.
He did.
Had his kind of screen behind him.
Once in a lifetime opportunity. Let me go to the whiteboard. It's showing the pure wonk.
Yeah.
Also, Reince Priebus has a big stake in whether this becomes law, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, all these guys do. They ran on, now here's the thing. For the last 6 years, we've heard from Republicans, we have to replace the Affordable Care Act. Now, in 12, it was, we need a president to work with us. They couldn't get, and they need the Senate. They didn't get the president of the Senate in 12. 14 was, we need the Senate. They got the Senate in 14. Now they have all three, the House, the Senate, and the President. It is time to deliver if you are a Republican on your promise. Right. But they're having a problem finding what is the solution. Before it was, we're against Obamacare. Easy argument to make. Now it's, what are we for? And he talked about the growing pains of going from the opposition party to the governing party, and that's what they're trying to do right now.
Right, and there's Wisconsin has a big stake in this because I've heard Speaker Voss twice this week talk about we should, when states get more power over Medicaid, which 1 in 5 Wisconsin residents get their health care from, we should be reimbursed on a per capita basis. That's just fairer than block grants. But states that expanded their Medicaid, they're arguing for block grants. So we've got a huge stake in this. Well, okay, let's turn to the Right to Try bill that that passed the state assembly. It was, I think, the most emotional testimony of this young session. It went to the Senate, but I was struck. Representative Deborah Colstie of Janesville, her official bio says she's a medical technologist. She made one comment, and then we'll hear three short quotes. She said, pharmaceutical companies could market their rainbow-colored pills. These are the pills that they sell us on TV ads. Mm-hmm. And it was a very emotional debate. So let's take a couple minutes to listen to Representative Colstie against this, Representative Clayfish for it. He'll mention his 52-year-old father-in-law who died without seeing his grandchildren, and the sponsor of the bill, Representative Pat Snyder. Let's listen to the closing debate on the right to try.
This bill is intended to replace the program the Federal Drug Administration has in place already called Expanded Access. The procedure we have with the FDA Expanded Access keeps science and protecting patients in the procedure. Phase one drugs are experimental drugs that go through, are just given to a few patients, and they don't have grave toxicity, so they go forward to the next two phases. The next two phases are where we find the efficacy of those drugs, the protocols on how to give them, and other side effects and adverse events. Phase one drugs really should be maintained under the monitoring of the FDA and its expanded access.
My father-in-law at age 52 was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. 4 months after his diagnosis, he died. He never met any of his grandchildren. And let me tell you, legal or not, we would have tried any medication to save this man's life. When somebody's diagnosed with a terminal illness, lady from the 44th, they are going to die. It is not for us to determine that somebody who is facing the ever after may not try anything within their grip to try to survive. If there is a drug that has made it past the first portion of FDA approval and has the slightest inkling of hope, who are we to stand by and say they may not try it?
Now, for the past 4 years, I've been a volunteer with the Wausau Aspirus Comfort Care and Hospice. Far too often, I've witnessed a patient exhaust all treatment options and be told there are no other alternatives. Right to Try gives those who have run out of options a fighting chance at finding a cure. Under our current law, patients have to wait to be granted special permission by the federal government before receiving these medications. As of right now, when a patient has exhausted all conventional treatment options, there are two routes that they can consider. One, they can apply to a clinical trial, or two, complete an application for the FDA's expanded access program. Sadly, many of the sickest patients aren't granted access to the clinical trials because they're considered too far along in their disease. For these patients and their families, every day counts. Right to Try is a streamlined process to get terminally ill patients quicker access to medication and treatment.
Okay, JR, the vote in the Assembly, Right to Try, was 85-13. 13 Democrats opposed it. That's a pretty strong vote, pretty good sign that's going to be approved here fairly quick in the Senate, do you think?
Looks like it. Governors expressed some interest in it. Also, remember, Ron Johnson is pushing a federal version of this. I mean, it's a lot of it is about giving people hope.
Right.
It's not maybe not going to be the solution, but it gives you hope that maybe you find something, some last-ditch effort to save your life, and they don't want to stop him from having that opportunity.
Right. Okay. New subject. You got a memo that they'd rather you didn't get last week, the very tentative schedule of public hearings on the state budget, opening April 3. All this is tentative, April 3.
Yep.
April 3, then April 7th in Marinette. I'm sorry, I missed Milwaukee. April 5, April 18th, Spooner. April 19th, Ellsworth. April 21st in central Wisconsin. These are a way for legislators to get out of the Capitol and listen to real people. They try not to listen to the professional lobbyists, right?
Yes. you also me. Look, you see that John Nygren, co-chair from Marinette, Luther Olson, member of the committee.
Central Wisconsin.
Ripon.
And Howard Markline, he's up next year, which is probably the reason that there's going to be a public hearing in Platteville. And Sheila Harzer's just won. I'm surprised she got another one.
So they're moving it around. They did four last time, six this time. It's also interesting the timing this year. 2 years ago, the first votes happened April 15th. This time around, we're looking at the first week of May. Part of that is because of Easter being late, and schools have done their spring breaks at different times.
Right.
So for some members, you know, they were going to be gone this week. Other members are going to be gone this week. The first week of April, by the way, they have a floor period set aside. They also expect to do the special session bills, Nygren's next batch of HOPE agenda bills. So that also was a crink in the schedule.
Yeah.
Now, the question, though, is when do they finish? So last time they started earlier. It still took July 2nd or early hours of the 3rd, the last vote cast.
Right.
So this time, can they get done before July 4th holiday? Yeah. Because we still have the transportation issue to figure
out. Yeah, and they hope to begin voting on May the 2nd. And all this now, this schedule is finalized because the Legislative Fiscal Bureau came out with a 504-page report. And this is the nonpartisan summary of the governor's budget. So now you can officially take the budget on the road. So let's play a thing called Three Things. Three things you and I learned from reading this 504-page summary. You ready? Well, should
sure.
I go first?
Go ahead.
The governor's budget would abolish the stray voltage program, saving $1 million and five positions. What do you got?
A lot of the stuff that I found, we kind of knew a little bit about it, but it adds some meat to the picture. So like we knew, for example, that Governor Walker wanted to end the policy of allowing domestic partners of state public employees
as of January 1
to health care.
Right.
What we didn't know was the way it was worded was that if you are the domestic partner of a deceased employee, you're currently allowed to use that employee's accrued sick leave or your own money to continue to buy health care through the state. It would cut those folks off as now written. Now the governor's office says,
oops,
we didn't intend that, we're going to try and fix that, but that's the kind of layer of detail that LFB gives us compared to what we get from the governor's office.
That's true. And if you look at the Department of Veterans Affairs budget, there is a study for the need of women veterans. But here's a caveat, JR. $20,000? Consultants burn through that in about 2 or 3 days. What kind of a study can you get on this major important topic, the needs of women veterans, for $20,000?
Yeah.
You got one?
So a lot of times with these policies, we find out, like the layers again, what's not there.
Yep.
Governor Walker wants to cut costs for printing and publishing and would allow government agencies to put things online, certain things, not everything, but some things online versus having to publish it. Well, we found out because of LFB that the provision doesn't say how long it has to be up, how accessible it has to be, things like that that you would kind of want to know if it really truly is accessible to the public, those kinds of things.
Okay, my turn. The governor's budget would save $1.4 million by canceling the next recruiting and training session for the State Patrol. I do not know why. Your turn. You got any more or are we done?
Really in the weeds? The governor wants to lower the lowest two tax brackets and expand the income covered by those two brackets. They weren't properly indexed the way it was written to kind of keep going up and account for inflation.
Right.
So things like that. There's little things they have to kind of tweak as this process goes along to have it work the way it's supposed to.
Okay.
Or intended to.
And then finally, we knew about this, but we got the official summary from the Fiscal Bureau. When you abolish the farm-to-school program, you save only $132,000 in one job. What's the purpose of farm-to-school program? It connects schools and local farms to provide students with locally sourced fruit, vegetables, and dairy products while also supporting local agriculture. I can't understand why Governor Scott Kevin Walker would want to abolish that. Okay. The Assembly finished work on the constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. We're showing now the actual wording. Voters in April 18, 2018, not next month, will get a chance to abolish the state treasurer. That's no big surprise. Are you surprised it was argued that some Democrats, especially in the Senate, said you're losing a watchdog position? There's nothing to... it's
maybe
one person.
It used to be. It could be, but it's not that way anymore. The big question I have is these votes were a formality. What I want to know is next spring, is anybody going to get behind the effort to abolish the office or to oppose it? Will we see an educational campaign, mailers, radio, TV? No. Will anybody care?
No.
So then you're relying on voters to kind of who are, I mean, let's be honest, for most voters, do they know what the treasurer does? They pay attention to that office? So it could be kind of on a whim. What do they decide to do? I'm really not sure what to think.
When it came up, it was said that the treasurer's office once had 100 employees. Now it has one. So and there's the assembly sponsor, Representative Schra, said it's going to get 65% yes. I kind of think he's right. But let's also note two things that the legislature also finished action on. They put the CBD bill, CBD oil bill, on the governor's desk, and this says that it's not a crime to possess CBD oil. I cannot pronounce that. Can you pronounce it?
Basically, so what it says is that if you have a note from a doctor, not
yes.
a prescription, because you can't have a prescription, but it's illegal.
Yeah.
If you have a note from a doctor to have this CBD oil, it's a marijuana extract, you will not be prosecuted by local authorities for having it. The hitch is you can still be prosecuted by the feds, because right now, this extract is still considered a Schedule I drug.
Yes.
The feds are not showing any signs, especially with the Trump administration, Jeff Sessions as AG, pulling back from that. So that's going to be an issue. If you get to Colorado, if you can get out there where it's legal and grab it, bring it home, you're going to be fine. But any part in that process, you can get pulled over, you can have it confiscated, and if the feds decide to crack down, you still are vulnerable to
and
that.
And this is the second go-around for this bill. And the families that are affected say their children have seizures dozens, if not 100 times a day, and this could ease some of that. So, could cut back on the seizures and help those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the other bill that was passed yesterday that was put on the governor's desk says local governments cannot mandate project labor agreements. What are they?
So basically you have to have an agreement in place of like salary and benefits to bid on the project. So the proponents say this opens it up to non-union shops, make it easier to bid on it, and also save taxpayer dollars. The counter argument is this is not going to help family supporting jobs that people in these industries need to help.
Yeah, right. Okay, so those bills are on the governor's desk. We have every expectation he's going to sign mm-hmm. CBD and project labor agreements. Last Monday, the state Supreme Court was presented with this question, does our 2011 law allowing people who have concealed weapon permits, can they carry those legal weapons on City of Madison buses? The Supreme Court ruled 5-2. Quoting Justice Dan Kelly, who wrote the opinion, Wisconsin's concealed carry law preempts the city's authority to restrict a licensee's right to carry concealed weapons on the city's buses. Dissenting were Justices Shirley Abramson and Ann Walsh Bradley, who said the municipal home rule powers granted to local governments should give them the authority. And we also have Mayor Soglin, who said, as the owner of these buses, we believe that we've got the right to control behavior on them. Soglin wants the Republican-controlled legislature yeah. to give cities like Madison and Oshkosh the ability to keep weapons off their buses. Not going to happen.
I would not hold my breath.
You would not hold your breath. Okay. On that note, let's turn to your stock report.
So rising, so school debt, Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance had a report. It went up $1.35
billion, $1.35 billion.
Yeah, what's going on? Well, we're seeing lots of
referendums.
We're
talking here about the referendums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're seeing these referendums. Now, part of what's driven the recent push, right, has been the perception for voters that schools are kind of been flat funding-wise, which is why you're seeing Governor Walker have this big push in this budget to increase K-12 funding by $649 million, or 59, whatever it is. It's a reaction to this grumbling at home of, okay, we've been keeping schools kind of flat the last few years. It's time for more money. They've been going to voters and getting that permission to do it, but that drives everything up because of it.
Well, and last Wednesday, I did a Newsmakers with the mayor of Marshfield and the superintendent of schools in Marshfield, D. Wells, and she said, yes, we've been successful in passing referendums, but it's no way long-term to finance your school district. That's just
and it
an
creates,
interesting P.S.
It exacerbates sometimes the haves and the have-nots.
It does.
When's the last time Milwaukee passed?
I've been told there's no way that Milwaukee would ever approve a referendum. That's yeah. just not going to happen. Okay, mixed?
So, Alexis Commission, for the second time in less than a year, we've had a member of the replace with the GAB leave. Now, what's interesting is before we had somebody leave the Ethics Commission saying it wasn't doing its job, wasn't effective. Now we have Don Millis saying, I'm leaving to go back to lobby lawmakers. So, he says when an interview I had with him that in his current work as a lawyer, he's previously lobbied lawmakers, that Scott Fitzgerald knew that when he picked him for the Elections Commission. He told Fitzgerald, I may have to go back to do it, but now he's leaving for that. So it's just a kind of a little bit more of a churning, if you will, at this commission that's supposed to be overseeing.
Well, and
elections.
Also, when you look at Millis, he had served on the old Elections Board.
Yeah.
He had a lot of institutional knowledge, but he's no longer going to be on the Elections Commission. So mixed, falling?
So income taxes, it's a very small falling. $44. So 70% of all filers under Governor Walker's.
You're talking about the impact mm-hmm. of Governor Walker's proposed cut in income taxes, and that cut is in the state budget. Excuse me.
So 70% of all filers would see some kind of reduction. $44 is the average. The most is $67. I think those making between $100,000 and $300,000 would see that kind of a reduction.
Right.
So, you know, it's a little bump. It feeds into the Walker's argument of how much cumulatively taxpayers have saved while he's been governor. What's kind of the interesting caveat to this is, remember some Republicans told us a while ago, we are going to cut taxes $300 million and show you a way to raise revenues for transportation with mm-hmm. this offset. They could, in theory, use this as a piece of the puzzle for their plan to cut taxes and show how to raise revenues for transportation either through the registration fee or the gas tax. Now, the problems we've talked about for a long time. Governor Walker will not sign a gas tax hike right now, no matter what. It's pretty clear. The Senate is not on board right now. So maybe an exercise of showing we can do it. But watch how this plays into that discussion that they have eventually of, oh, if you wanted to, we could do this.
Well, do you detect a consensus among Republican legislators that $44, we can deliver a bigger impact? That's basically what you're saying?
Well, you know, no, it's more that some Republicans are saying we want to fix the road issue long term. And so if we want to, Governor Walker had said for a long time, I will veto any budget that raises the gas tax or registration fee without an offset somewhere else. This would help them get toward that offset to meet his prior requirement. But Governor Walker has moved the goalpost. He's now saying basically, well, that was a conversation starter, but not a deal, that if you meet that, I'll give you your gas tax.
Well, okay, but last week I went through information paper 35 from the Fiscal Bureau, the wonk in me, and general fund diversions to the transportation fund have totaled $446 million over the last 6 years, which is three biennial budgets.
And that may be the next frontier in this discussion, because we talked to Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald about that over the last week. Fitzgerald told us, he's told his members to keep an open mind.
Yes. All things are on the table.
Voss said a one-time transfer is not a fix, but maybe taking a piece of the sales tax or income taxes is a long-term solution. Then that opens the next door of, okay, you guys just spent this hearing bashing transportation, DOT, because of this audit. Are you going to trust DOT now to spend that money wisely? Or will you guys say, you spend this money here, here, and here, and if you open up that can of worms, lawmakers, who's going to rule the roost about where that money goes?
Okay, but here's what happens next. So let's look forward to next week. Do you remember Speaker Voss, Representative Nygren, and Majority Leader Steinicke gave WISDOT until March 15th to come up with a new list of what projects, what major projects are going to cost, and how long it would take under the governor's budget. So we get a new recalibration on next week, don't we?
I believe that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for March 10.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal: enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.